السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. وقال تعالى في مكان آخر: وقليل من عبادي يشكرون. صدق الله العظيم. فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who may be listening, in these verses of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has discussed the aspect of shukr, or gratitude and gratefulness. The advices found in the Quran Sharif are as relevant as they were 1,400 years ago. The Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the, so to say, the instructional manual for the hidayat of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. Somebody said in Urdu, ye Quran mein sab kuch hai aur isme bas hai. Sab hai aur bas hai. The Quran is good, everything, and the Quran is sufficient. A person can find solutions and answers for everything in his life. Of course, we need to understand also that the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an elaboration of the Quran Sharif. Therefore, we must recite the Quran Sharif. We are at liberty to recite the translation of the Quran Sharif. However, when it comes to deriving any masail or any laws, then there we have to revert to the experts. It is essential for us to revert to the experts who have studied this field. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is warned in the hadith that that person who gives his opinion with regards to the Quran Sharif without having the necessary knowledge and qualification, فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ, then let him build his abode in the fire of Jahannam. And somebody will say, but Quran, the Quran Sharif, Allah revealed it for all of mankind and is there for hidayat. So yes, we can get hidayat and we can be inspired and we can be motivated to a year after an akhirah. But as far as the laws of deen are concerned, then there we have to revert to the experts. If we study the history of Islam, then we will see that this has always been the case. And this is the case in every single field. If somebody picks up a textbook, he goes to one of the bookstores, and he picks up a textbook or a encyclopedia on cardiology, how the heart functions and how a heart operation is done and what's the procedure. Or the person goes into the bookstore and picks up a book on aeronautics, on how to fly a plane and how a plane functions. So he says, I don't need to go to any institute to get any qualification. I got the book. I've got the manual in front of me. I got the brains. I will read the book. And then he goes to the theater and he presents himself in front of the patient and says, look, I'm here today I will perform the heart operation. So of course we will know what will be the end result of that operation. It will be one more candidate for the cemetery. Why? Because the person, one is the theory and one is the practicality, and one is the person had to go into the institute, he had to be mentored, he had to study, he had to be guided. There was a certain course that he had to undertake in order for him to qualify and to be deemed by that association or that board as fit to perform that particular procedure or that particular operation. The same way when it comes to flying a plane, the person can't just take a book and study it and then wants to fly on 747 plane. He has to have so many hours of experience, he has to go into a flight simulator, so many hours in a flight simulator, then they will put him on a small plane, so many hours on a small plane. Only after he's earned so many hours on his name, then he's allowed to go to the bigger passenger plane. There's a procedure, there's a system in place. Similarly, when it comes to deriving masla, masail for the mufti, sometimes we do not understand. We just feel that this mufti is one night woke up on the wrong side of the bed and said everything is haram. Each person has applied himself that which is clear in the Quran Sharif, that which is halal and clear, no mufti can change that. And that which Allah Ta'ala has clearly declared as haram, for example, Allah has clearly declared that wine, intoxicants are haram. Allah has clearly declared that swine is haram. Now the mufti sahab says, no, from tomorrow you can start eating swine, it's fine. That would be totally impermissible. But there are many masail which are not found in the Quran. For example, a person can say there were no vehicles in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were no planes in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then how can we really say what is the masla about performing salah in the plane or not when there were no planes in the time of the Sahaba ikram? So then the mufti will apply his mind. He has earned the qualification, he knows the procedure, what he has to do before deriving and arriving at his conclusion. It's a whole process. We need to appreciate that. Just like how you appreciate that cardiologist when he performs the procedure or he gives you his advice, it's based on years of studying and experience. In the same way that alim or that mufti, based on years of studies and experience, finally he will then come up with that particular piece of advice that he will be giving. So in every field, we appreciate the fact that the person has got qualifications, then we revert to those individuals. We won't just go to some person on the street corner and ask him to perform a medical procedure on our bodies. In the same way, when it comes to laws of the Quran and the Hadith, let us resort to our ulama who have qualified in this field, who have studied for years. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this Quran Sharif is my sab kuch hai. There is hidayat for every single person till the day of Qiyamah. There was a friend of ours in the madrasa who was a former soldier in one particular army of a certain country, and he converted to Islam. MashaAllah, he gave his story to us. He said that after serving many years in the military, going through various missions, finally came back, now he was sort of a veteran. And now he served as a bouncer in one of the clubs. He had the wine, the woman, the entertainment, the fun, everything was there. But unfortunately there was something missing. That inner tranquility, that inner serenity was missing. He just wasn't finding that true satisfaction from life. And this is the reality, respected elders and brothers. That in a life of sin, there will always be anxiety, there will be worry, there will be frustration. If guna and sins brought a person satisfaction, then why is it that all these film stars and actors and these wealthy individuals who are disobeying the command of Allah, why is there such a high rate of suicide now? Such a high rate of suicide. On depression, there's psychologists. Yet if we study the lives of the pious, those people who exerted themselves in fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not find one case of suicide. Not one case of suicide. And Allah Ta'ala has declared this in the Quran Sharif, Ala, Inna awliya Allah, La khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzan. That indeed, listen very, behold, the friends of Allah, there is no fear and no anxiety of Allah. Nothing. Allah Ta'ala makes their hearts, so to say, gham proof. It is protected from anxiety and grief. So difficulty comes to them. But it's like the example of the Swiss watches. The person has a watch which is waterproof. So that watch is submerged in the water. The water is surrounding that entire watch. But we find that no water goes inside. Why? The watch is waterproof. That person who becomes the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who implements in his life the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then protects his heart, encapsulates his heart with sakina, with serenity, with tranquility. So that even the person, despite the outward difficult conditions, medical conditions, complications, financial complications, but within his heart he's got sukoon. He's got such sukoon that you cannot even understand it. That's why Allah Wala mentioned, he said that in the midst of storms, in the midst of the ocean, we found such sukoon that those people who are on the shores didn't find. But the person, when he's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's getting such enjoyment we cannot even understand. So he was not getting any enjoyment, any tranquility from that life of sin. Until one day he said he was walking and he just called out and he said, God, he was not a Muslim. He said, God, this can't be life. This just can't be life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard his call. Allah ta'ala decided to give this person hidayat. He said he walked into, shortly after that, into one bookstore. As he walked into the bookstore, he decided to purchase a few books. He said accidentally, without even realizing it, he purchased a copy of the Quran Sharif, English translation. When he went home, taking out the books, he realized he accidentally purchased. He actually sort of reprimanded himself, what did you buy this book for? So he took the copy of the Quran Sharif, he put it in his library and he left it. He said, I'm going to touch that book. He said, days passed by, perhaps weeks passed by, until one day again he was walking into his library and he pulled out that Quran Sharif. He said he was reading the Bible and he was getting so many doubts, doubts upon doubts upon doubts. He wasn't getting the answers that he was looking for. He says when he opened the Quran Sharif, the first verses that his eye fell upon, ذَٰلِكَ الْكِتَابْ لَا غَيْبَ فِيهِ. That is the book in which there is absolutely no doubt. So now automatically that interest was created in his heart. He continued and then he came to the verses, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. That Allah Ta'ala never places a burden on any soul beyond its capacity. He said when he read this, he was so inspired. He started tearing. And he said, it seems like this is the book, this is the religion for me. And subhanAllah, his condition in the madrasa was really admirable. He would be in the first stuff of the masjid, there for all his salahs, crying in dua. Sometimes when you look at these individuals, they make us feel ashamed. We are born Muslims, but we do not even have that kind of zeal and enthusiasm and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they display. Talking on this, there was one individual in the life of Hazrat Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi. He brought a person to accept Islam in the hands of Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi. This person accepted Islam. Maulana gave him a brief explanation on how what Islam is and how to perform his salah. He told him, look, you cannot perform Surah Fatiha and read Surah Fatiha now in such a short period of time. So he taught him Subhanallah. He said, you just stand and you just say Subhanallah in your salah while everyone else is, and copy what everyone else is doing. After the Zuhr salah, this person was engaged in his salah, this new Muslim. The other brothers came out of the masjid, he was still in the masjid. They're looking at him, they see this person is in the position of sajda. He's not getting up from sajda. long he's in sajda. After a very lengthy period of time when he came out, so the friend asked him, "Brother, what happened? You were quite long in there." He says, "I cannot explain to you. When I put my head in sajda, the feeling, that feeling of ecstasy that I experienced, I've never experienced it in my entire life." Now, respected elders and brothers, we have to ask ourselves, we perform salah from the time we born Muslim, we performing salah. Have we ever tasted that sweetness of iman and that sweetness of hur, that closeness and the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we place our heads in sajda? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ, that the closest an individual, a banda, a servant, can come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of proximity is when he is in the position of sajda. At that point the person has totally annihilated himself. Figuratively it is as if the person has placed his head at the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Figuratively, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have feet like how a human being has feet. But it means that the person is totally annihilated and submitted himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person thinks to himself that, imagine, I have got the sky above me, I've got the seven heavens above me, above that is more heavens, above that is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then is Allah ta'ala's dhat and being. The person goes into a state of kayfiyat. One young girl in the madrasa had written to us about his potential, after changing her life, giving up those sins, especially for the youth out there, in today's era of fitna and fasad, of temptation, where everywhere there's fitnas, via the internet, and via the billboards, and via the radio stations, and via the media, and via the schools, and via the social media, and via our friends. We are being bombarded and attacked from all sides. So for that youngster to give up sin, it requires a tremendous amount of courage. It requires a tremendous amount of sacrifice. And therefore these youth, who mashallah have adopted, for example, the libas of the saliheen, their dress is in accordance to that of the pious, when all the youngsters out there are engaged in illicit love relationships, which is nothing but a mirage. How many cases, O youth, young boys, young girls, they gave their heart to that boy gave his heart to that girl gave her heart to that boy, and what was the end result and outcome? It was nothing but heartbreak. That person, suddenly, that girl saw somebody more handsome than you, finish. She dumped you in the nearest dump site. Do not give your heart to anyone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our hearts are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become Allah's. Let Allah become yours. Everything is yours. Everything will become yours. Reserve your heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not give your heart to that temporary beauty. That girl may be very beautiful now. Her cheek may be very attractive now. Her eyes may be very attractive now. But what will be her end result? 50 years down the line, 60 years down the line, that beautiful hair will be looking like the tail of a donkey, as Mullah Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi gives the example. That now that old woman, that woman at one time, she was the talk of the town. Perhaps she was Miss World or Miss Universe. 50 years down the line, 60 years down the line, what's her condition? Forget 60 years down the line, that woman who may have walked that particular pageant, if she has to meet up in some accident and suffer third degree burns, now will all those media houses run after her to get a picture on the front cover? Well, they said they loved her very much. We love her and we are in love with her. Were they really in love with her, or were they in love with that beauty of hers which was so temporary? If they really loved her, her personality and herself, why then do they not put a disfigured face on the front cover of that magazine? It shows, respected elders and brothers, that love is not true love. It is not true love at all. Do not give your hearts to that beauty which is temporary. That woman, 60 years down the line, when the person digs up the grave, what is there? Nothing. There was one individual who was suffering from this spiritual diseases. So he went into the company of his chef. Chef was making his Islam, trying to reform him. So the chef had a maid servant. She would bring the food and present it to him. He became infatuated by her. So now when she would bring the food to him, he would admire her beauty. She too was feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so she immediately informed the chef, Hazrat, you know, this particular murid of yours, this particular student of yours, I sense that he's casting an evil glance at me. So the chef wanted to teach this person a lesson of life. So he administered laxatives to this particular slave girl. In those days they had a bucket system. So all the excreta that came out of her body was collected in this bucket. And in this way she continually went out and she went into a state of, the person becomes hardly any water in his body, what's the term, the person dehydrates. So she was dehydrating. Because of that now the complexion changed, the formation of the face changed. And now because of the sickness, she was not looking very good at all. And now the chef said, now go ahead and enter on her. As soon as she entered, because the condition was such, he turned his gaze away immediately. The chef came thereafter, this is our murid. Suddenly you've turned your gaze away from her. A few days ago, you had fallen in love with her. There's no change in her. The only thing that has changed and come out from her is this bucket of feces. The reality is that you are in love with this. This is what you are in love with. Therefore, O youth, do not give your hearts to beauty which is temporary. Give your hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hayyun la yamut, wa hayyun la yamut. Kullu man alayha fan, wa yabqa, wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. When everything will come to an end, this entire world will come to an end, this entire world will be destroyed, mountains will fly like cotton wool, huge buildings will be brought down, everything will be destroyed. At that time Allah Ta'ala will make a call, Limanil mulkul yawm, Limanil mulkul yawm, to whom does this kingdom belong today? Who is the real king? Who is the real ruler? Who is the real powerful individual? And if we can elaborate, O kings and O tycoons, where are you now? There will be no answer. Allah will then respond, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. To that one Allah who is all powerful, almighty, supreme. Therefore, let us give our hearts to that Allah subhanahu. That is what Allah Ta'ala gave us this heart for. This heart is the king of the body. Today, unfortunately, we have filled our hearts with this dunya. The person has got nothing but dunya in his heart. Dunya, dunya, business, shop, money. Detach your hearts from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That doesn't mean now that the person mustn't have a business, the person mustn't have a shop, the person must divorce his wife, he must leave and abandon his children. That's not what it means. What it means is that the heart must be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah gave a beautiful example. He said like how a person has an envelope. In those days you used to have the envelope when you sealed it. If you try to reopen it, then you needed to tear it. Nowadays the envelopes are made such that the person can open and reseal and open and reseal. So he says that must be the attachment that we have to this dunya. It's a light attachment. You will love your children. You will love your wife, you will love your wife because it's a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person who controls his gaze from other women, then he will love his wife. He will admire his wife. He's not looking at others. Allah will glorify the beauty of his wife in his eyes. So that person's attachment to this dunya is an attachment which can be separated. But you find on the other hand when the person becomes so attached to dunya, that incident that comes to mind, that particular father had purchased a brand new vehicle. He was in love with his car. His whole heart was in his car. His little child, toddler, he took one rusted nail and he scraped one of the fenders of the vehicle. The father, because The reality was that the father's heart was in the car. So when the child scratched the car, he actually scratched the heart of the father. So the father retaliated in that fit of rage. He took that rusted nail and he scraped the arm of the child. He said, I showed you, you scratched my car. Now because it was a rusted nail, the end result was that the child's arm had to be amputated. So that child turned around and told the father after the procedure, that, oh my father, I promise I will never scratch your car again. Please give me my arm back. This is when a person is so attached to dunya. So attached to dunya, that is why it is mentioned that at the time of death, those people, the Ahlullah, the pious individuals, when their soul will be extracted, then it is like the example of a hair which is being pulled out of flower. And those individuals who are attached to dunya, they had a strong attachment and bond to their dunya, to their business, to their cars, to their cell phones. Then their example will be like a silken piece of fabric being thrown over a thorn bush and then pulled. Because the person is holding on to dunya. Now the angel of death wants to separate him from dunya. He doesn't want to. He wants to remain behind. My business, my this, my that. So then the angel has to rip that soul out of the body. May Allah protect us. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with a wonderful death. Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'innah, irji'i ila rabbik radiyatan mardiyah. That a person returns to Allah in a condition that that person is pleased with Allah and Allah is pleased with him. He is longing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our late Muhammad Padasa, rahmatullahi, those who were present, they mentioned to us that after he had passed away, or at the time of passing away, there was a smile on his face. Passing away in front of the Kaaba Sharif, hands raised. What a Mubarak death. And this is when a person leads his life in that way. His life is revolving around the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His life is revolving around dua. He too has got dunya. He also drives the vehicle, but his heart is not in that vehicle. In fact, when he drives that vehicle, he thinks of Allah, that Ya Allah, you are that Kareem, Allah, bless me this vehicle. When his eye falls on his children, he says, Ya Allah, what beautiful children you gave me. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. He turns and he connects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he walks into his business and he sees how it's flourishing, he says, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Allah, it is your fazl and your karam. This is your bounty that you gave it to me. There was a time when I didn't have this. So his business now is connecting him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His motor vehicle is connecting him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't say, no, you see my qualifications. You see this car, I work very hard for it. Because you also must work hard. That's why I got it. I work very hard. It's all my qualifications. Me, myself, and I. That person, respected elders and brothers, his bounties are then suddenly snatched from that individual. Then the person realizes, oh, it's all gone. Allah Ta'ala speaks about Qa'ud. He said, I have received whatever I received because of my own qualifications and knowledge. What was its outcome? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. The entire earth then devoured Qa'ud. So respected elders and brothers, in short, as a synopsis, the entire theme of the talk was centered around connecting ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attaching ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to detach ourselves from dunya. Be engaged in dunya, but let that dunya be a means of connecting you to akhirah. Let those children be a means of connecting you to akhirah. And how will we measure this? How will we evaluate and say that, look, it seems like alhamdulillah, this dunya has not detached me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is when there is a contradiction. That wife and children now ask the person to commit some sin and guna. They say, listen, take us to watch a movie. Now at that time, if the person says, no, I love Allah more than I love you. The command of Allah is more beloved to me than your request. Therefore, I'm not prepared to do such a thing. I'm not too prepared to take you to this thing. But what I will do, let's not break that relationship of love. I would rather take you for an outing. Let's go somewhere else. There's so many other halal alternatives. Let's go to the quiet beach. Let's go for a hiking trail. Let's do something else. You want some entertainment, we'll give you halal entertainment. What is the other alternative? Haram, don't even ask me about this here. Give you a good hiding, you ask again. That is just going to create resentment in the heart of the child. Let's give them an alternative. Tell them, see, this is haram. We don't want to disobey Allah's command. Allah is the one who has blessed us with all our faculties. Let's not disobey Him. But let's also have entertainment. Let's do it the halal way. Give us some solutions. Okay, let's go for a hiking trail. Let's do some cycling. Let's go for horse riding. Let's do some archery. There's so many alternatives. The person wants to do something, he'll find the alternative. In Urdu they say, agar na karna hai, to bahane azaab. When a person doesn't want to do something, then he's got 1,000 excuses. So respected elders and brothers, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us and protects our youth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from the deception of this dunya. And these haram relationships that are taking place that are destroying the lives of our youth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and restore the dignity of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.